Welcome to Library Life, the podcast where we talk about all things library.
And some things not.
My name is Jenna.
And my name is Shayna.
And this week, we're talking about library shame. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. It's good to be recording again. Mm-hmm. We were ahead for a few weeks, so we haven't recorded in ages.
It's been probably a month since we've sat down and recorded.
But now we're back behind, like usual. Yes. We're back, I guess, on time.
Yes.
Recording a few days before it comes out, which is our usual MO.
Yes, it is.
But we're happy to be back with you guys and talking about an interesting library issue.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all based on an article.
Yeah, an article that I found on the CBC's site.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know how when they do radio programs on the CBC and they write like article that goes with it, like kind of like a transcript style thing?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think that's what that is, right? Because it was from the Doc Project?
Yes, it's from the Doc Project.
So also, I feel like we should explain what the CBC is in case for the American listeners, because I know we do have some American listeners. I had to think of a second one stood for. Canadian Broadcasting Company. It's kind of like our version of NPR, sort of, because they do radio, talk radio, and they have all these different shows on it.
Yeah.
And they also do, like, the news and...
Yeah, you typically get this
kind of like BBC, sort of, but for Canada.
Yeah, I guess.
Does BBC have a radio presence?
I think so.
I don't know. Anyways, and they make shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So... That is what the CBC is.
Yes. Okay. And I like to go on the CBC at work when I have some time to kill and I get caught up on what's happening in the world. And
Yeah. I listen to a lot of it in the car. Like a lot of the hourly news and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, tell us about this article you found.
So I came across this article one day and it's called "I'm a Bookaholic and a Bad Library Patron, but I'm ready to finally face my late fees."
Dramatic.
I know, right? So dramatic. So, of course, I had to click on it.
Obviously.
Obviously. and read what it's about. So, this is by Catherine Cole. And essentially, this is just, like, her recounting her experience being a bad library patron, where she returns books late and then feels the shame and the, like...
Yeah.
Guilt about having to go in and pay late fees.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the article, she has like three, I don't know if they're friends, but three people that she like interviews or has gathered their stories about their different experiences with like one person like loses a book, but then like thinks they've returned it. Another person, like their child, like nibbles on the book.
Nibbles.
I think takes a chunk out of one of the books. And then the last one is someone who has moved away from her small town in Ontario with a library book and returned like years later and is feeling like shame and like fear about going back to the library because she has this like...
A book she's had out for ages.
Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of an interesting article. It's interesting for us to hear from the other side.
Yes.
Because like when you deal with fines and all that stuff all the time, you don't really think about it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought that was really interesting. And then they're not like your typical bad customers, right?
No, these are not like habitual, like...
Yeah, and they're not like behavioral bad. No. I mean, I guess kind of, but like not in the way we would think of behavior problems.
No, it's just like everyday people that, you know...
Yeah, and like...
Have an accident with a book and then...
Have an accident with a book. That sounds like... yeah.
But, you know, like, I know something happens, like, their kid, like, destroys it.
Yeah,
or...
like, honest mistakes.
Honest mistakes, and then it's interesting, one of the stories, like, I was reading it, and I was like, ooh, that's not how I would have handled that situation at all. But then I had to, like, remember that, like, different library systems have different, like,
different
policies
things.
And rules, and...
Yeah, can you, like, zero in on the one about the book drop? I think that might be the example you were talking about.
Yeah, so essentially it's about...
I think if I remember from the article, what it is they have a book drop and there's like a sign on it that says like, use at your own risk.
Essentially. So what ends up happening is this woman and her 8-year-old son, like they swear they've returned the Star Wars book a couple days before the due date. And then the son, I'm assuming this is part of like a, like also a school library as well.
Okay.
Because then he goes in to do a school project and sign out another book, and the librarian tells him that he can't sign out any books until he's returned the Star Wars book.
Yeah.
which him and his mom have, like, swore that they returned.
And the book shoot.
Yeah, so then they go back home, look for it, can't find it, and they come back in and deal with another librarian who finds it
mm-hmm.
on, like, a return cart.
Right.
But then his son goes back the next day and gets the first librarian, and it's still on his account. And
the message is still there.
The message is still there.
Well, and, like, is there, like, a quote from what they said she said to them?
Yeah, so the mother says, I explained to her that we brought it back on Sunday, and the library was adamant that I did not return it. She proceeded to write in the computer that we are saying that we returned the book, but it has not been located in the library, and that my son could not take out any other books until this was resolved.
Okay, this is, like, what I find really interesting about this. I think the fact that the customer even knew she wrote that in their record is, like, a little unprofessional to me. Yes, very. Because it's kind of like saying, like, I don't believe you.
Yeah.
And I feel like with most of those claims return situations where they are pretty sure they've returned it, usually they're not trying to get away with something. They actually think they have returned it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know, how do you handle it when someone's like, I returned that. I'm like, I know I returned that. But it's still on the record.
I definitely have a conversation with them where I say, like, you know what? Why don't you go home and take another look? And I tell them, you know, look under the car seat, look under the rugs, look under the furniture.
I always tell them to look in their car because, like, yeah. A lot of times things slip out of bags.
Yeah, and, like, look in your kids' rooms, like, because sometimes kids like to hold on to things, yeah. Right? And then I say, like, we'll also take a look for it here. So it's kind of like, it's an equal ownership of, like, yeah. And then I say, when you come back, and I explain there is a process that, like, if we put that, like, we call it a claims returned.
Yeah.
It just means that it goes on a list and that we keep looking for it in the library. So it's not like I kind of put a positive spin on it versus, like, this.
Like, that lady was really negative. Like,
yeah.
Well, you're not going to get to use the library until you bring that book back, which also is a weird rule.
Which is such a weird rule because, like, I work in the children's department and I would never penalize a child for something like this.
Especially because usually it's not the kid's fault, right? It's the parent.
Exactly. Like, I might say, like, oh, you know, like, I'll let you take home, like,
one book.
Yes, of course. Like, I'm not going to be like, yeah, sure, take your 20 books home that you want to take home. But, like, have a conversation with the parent and be like, yeah, just this once, you'll have a grace period. And then I can definitely put, like, a message in their account, like, a block in their account for the next time they come in. But
yeah, well, and it's different because, like, it depends how strict people are, right?
Yes.
And it depends, like, is this the first offense? I feel like, too, before we, like, get too deep into the claims return thing, just for people who are listening who are maybe not library people, the way a claims return works is, like, you come in and say, I've returned this, and it's still on your record.
Yeah.
So then what I would do is someone receiving that is I would go check on the shelf. Yeah.
We look for it when you're there.
Unless they went to a branch. Then, like, I might call the branch, then I might not.
I would call the branch and be like,
it depends if it's busy or whatever. So I would check the shelf first for them because a lot of times you find it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say it goes on claims return. It depends on your library system. I think ours might be 6 weeks or something like that. It goes on a list where it gets printed off, and then staff go around and look for all this stuff. And then if they find it, it comes off the record. No fines. Yeah. Nope. Nothing like that. And then if at the end of that 6 weeks, it hasn't been found, it hasn't been returned, then the item gets billed. So you have to pay for it.
Wow, you guys do 6 weeks. We do 3 months.
I don't know if it's 6 weeks. I just pulled that out of my butt. So don't take me up for that. I feel like the one I heard it was 6 weeks, it was when I was working at your library.
Okay, well, speaking of someone who used to work the circulation department, it's 3 months.
Well, I was always like, I never gave people definite timelines because I couldn't remember what they were when I worked at your library. I would just be like, oh, it'll be on for like a while.
Yeah.
And I usually didn't ask.
Yeah.
I usually didn't, like, I often don't tell them it's going to get billed to them at the end.
No. It's only...
Maybe I'm a wimp, but I let the next person tell them when it gets billed.
Well, oftentimes they'll ask, like, what happens, like, if you can't find it, I can't find it. And then I tell them honestly, I'm like, well, you had to pay for the book. But then I also say, hey, keep your receipt, because in 6 months, if it turns up, then you get a refund.
Yeah.
Like,
so... Anyways, that's a big issue that a lot of people run into because, like, a billed item adds up on your account really quickly, right?
Yeah.
So, I did want to... Okay, so on this topic of library shame, I guess from my perspective, I don't really see anything as library shame, like, in terms of fines, right?
No, me either.
I was like, I thought the article seemed so dramatic to me. Yeah. When you sent it to me and I read it, I was like,
I know.
This is so dramatic when they're like, I had all this shame and I couldn't go back because I had like one late book. And I was like, oh, get over yourself. But then I asked my friends who are not, who don't work at the library. And I asked them to like, just write up some of their like experiences with feeling library shame. And it was interesting to hear some of them. So, okay. So this is my friend's boyfriend. His name is Curtis. Okay. This is like a tangent, but I have to tell you this.
Okay.
So I've been listening to the Can't Lit podcast.
Yes.
It's a book on, it's not a book. It's a podcast and it's like about Canadian literature and all that stuff. So they always say like friend of the podcast when they're talking about people. Curtis, I don't think is really a friend of the podcast, although he did do this for me. But Lisa, his girlfriend, my one of my best friends, is a friend of the podcast. So shout out to you, Lisa, if you're listening. I know you are. So anyways, this is what Curtis said. He wrote this up for me. So he said, 5 years ago, I took out a book from the library. I finally returned it 3 months late and racked up fines on it, but my library maxed out all overdue fines to $10. I was still very embarrassed that I had kept the book for that long and I hadn't even finished it. Because of that, I haven't wanted to show my face there since. Which now I think of it was very silly. I recently got back into reading because of my friend Lisa and got a new library card. Because my girlfriend and her friend said I should just suck it up and get a new one. And that librarians don't really care that much. They just want readers to be able to access materials. And yeah. My friend, he needs me. I told him that. So, but I think this is so interesting because he was like, I was very embarrassed, even though he returned it. And his fines only max out at $10. That's so little. First of all,
my library that I work at, it's $20.
Well, it doesn't max out. It's just like,
oh, that's right. No, you do hit like the limit when you like, yeah.
So that would make sense because he had maxed out on that particular item, not like on his account. So it's not like he had like 100 books out and it maxed out at $10. So, but I just think it's funny that he also says he didn't even finish the book. And that, like, adds another layer of shame to it.
But, I mean, that's very true. Because, like, one of my coworkers runs this super awesome program for mothers that, like, maybe have recently been in jail or are experiencing, like, homelessness, stuff like that. So that,
yeah.
And a lot of them have racked up fines, like,
yeah.
other things. And they're scared to come back in the library because they think that we're going to, like, I don't know, put them on the spot, cause a scene, kick them out, like, not allow them in to use the library. So, like, my coworker has been doing this, like, super great job of, like, being like, no, like, we want you to come back in, and then it allows them to, like, work off the fines, essentially.
Okay,
so, like, if they come to the program and they, like, attend, like, three programs, like, continually, they get a library card, and we kind of help them deal with their fines, essentially, like, really, we're, like, wiping them for them.
Like, right, giving like, them the waving clean
slate. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I just, like, think that's interesting about Curtis. Thank you, by the way, Curtis, if you ever listen to this, for writing in your shame. And I think it's interesting that he probably would have just let it linger if it wasn't for, like, Lisa and his girlfriend and us who gave him a hard time about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's funny? I believe this is a series that got him back into reading. It was Percy Jackson.
I love Percy Jackson.
Which I haven't even read.
I also think it's funny that people think that we'll remember them. Like, the amount of people that I interact with every day at the library, I'm not going to remember if you have, like, a, you know, like, a $20 fine or, like, a $50 fine or even $150. Like,
I know, where he's like, I've been, like, gone, I've had it for this long, and I like how he acknowledged it wasn't really that big a deal.
Yeah, I did like that. But I mean, I think it's silly that people think that we're actually going to, like,
remember you.
The only time I ever remember a customer is one of two things. One, if they cause a huge scene.
If they're rude. I remember you very if you're rude.
Or if the huge behavioral issue.
Yeah.
Or if you're, like, super nice, I'll remember you.
Like, yeah, exactly. From one extreme to the other, right? Okay, this is my other friend, Dorian.
Mm-hmm.
So she is one of my friends I went to university with, currently doing her master's in history.
Yeah.
So she says, hi, I have a library shame. I accidentally racked up $17 worth of fines. I've been too ashamed to face the library and pay the fines. I've just been ignoring the problem for a year now. So I think that's so funny.
I also think it's funny that it's like with both of these cases, the fine has not been that large.
I know. Because to me, $17 and $10 is like nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Like, I think the highest one I've ever come across is $2,000.
Really?
Yeah.
So how did they get that? Was it a bunch of build items?
Yeah. So it was essentially, they came in and they, it was a mom. I remember this. It was a mom and her daughter. Or maybe it was her getting a new card and she still had an old card.
Right.
But they had, it had, she had got the card.
Yeah.
And then used our computers and then left it there or someone picked it up. And they maxed out the card.
Yeah.
So 100 items, 100 movies. And didn't return any of them.
Yeah, and then that adds up really quick,
and then it
right?
would build them for, build her for them all, but then, yeah, and she was like, what?
And she was probably like, well, okay, if can you imagine if that was you?
Oh, yeah.
Like, on the other side of the counter being like, you owe $2,000. What? Like,
yeah.
I would lose my mind.
Yeah.
In a nice way, but I would still be like, pardon? I think the biggest I ever saw was like 600 something. Yeah. When I didn't work on Cirque for that long, really. But I remember seeing that and being like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I think about, it's interesting about Dorian is that she's like, I've just been ignoring the problem. And a lot of people, that is like another thing people do is they just ignore it. And you can't.
Don't want to do that.
You can't do that because I don't think library people, excuse me, I don't think people realize that libraries send people who have.
To collections agencies
who have fines over a certain amount.
Yeah.
So.
And that affects your. Obviously affects your credit, and people oftentimes don't realize until they go to, like, get a loan for a car, or, like, buy a house, or something, yeah. like, huge like that, and they can't because they have...
Their credit score is bad because of the library.
Because they haven't returned a library book, or they haven't paid their fines.
Yeah, and I had a lady who called, and, I forget what the situation was, but, like, there was some reason that I had... She was asking about her card. I don't think she'd used it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a fine. It wasn't even that big. It was, like, $50 or something.
Okay.
But it was over the limit yeah. of what they'll send to the creditor.
Mm-hmm.
Or the collections agency. And she was like, I didn't even know I owed this. Because she had... She said, like, her living situation was really unstable at the time.
Yeah.
So the contact information we had on file for her
wasn't up to date.
So she's like, I didn't even know, like, this creditor collections agency has been trying to get a hold of me and I had no idea, or else I would have just paid it. I think it's interesting that, like, there's, like, kind of two things where, like, they didn't know, which happens to a lot of
mm-hmm,
people
mm-hmm.
or they just ignore it.
They just ignore it.
And I will say, when I started working at the library I worked at, it's not the library I grew up going to as a child.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had, like, fines at your library, which is in our home city, and, I just ignored them. I think I had, like, $20. It must have been a little more than $20, because I got, it was over the limit for the sending to a collections agency.
Yeah.
Because they sent me a letter being like, we're gonna send you to collections if you don't come down and pay this. And I got right down there and paid it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like a crazy amount, but it must have been just over.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just interesting to think that these, like, the fact that it's so much shame that they're just like they won't even go to the library.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. And, like, I'm just scrolling through this article. The one incident that I was like, oh, that's, like, hardcore. So, essentially, it was a mom and her son, who was a toddler at the time.
And this is from the article.
This is from the article. They borrowed, a brand new book mm-hmm. from the library, a hardcover.
Yeah.
And then the mom turned her back for a moment, and the kid, like, took a chunk out of the book.
Like you were saying, yeah.
Like, yeah, took a bite out of the book, and they had to buy the book.
Right,
and because it was,
fine.
Like, yeah. So then...
Because it was new, especially.
Because it was new on hardcover. So then it says, to avoid future expenses, Sarah, the mother, taught her child to check the publishing dates of books they wanted to borrow to ensure that they were not new, so reasonable wear and tear could be expected. I said to the kids, you know we can't afford this. If you nibble on another book, it has to be an old book.
That is hardcore.
That is so hardcore.
Hardcore for the mother to do that.
But I think it's interesting because to see how different libraries handle it, because we oftentimes... are so lenient with children's books, especially.
Yeah.
And, like, if a parent came to me and said, hey, my kid, like, I've had it where they ripped a page out or they've, like, you know, scribbled on it by accident. And, mm-hmm. I mean, like, I'm much more lenient on that.
Yeah, I think
type of situation.
Like, that was one of the questions I had written down, like, to ask about was, like, how have you handled fines? or like how do you go about dealing with someone who has a library fine? Like that situation with the kid mm-hmm. and the bite out of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Like what would you have done in that situation?
So considering it's a brand new book and it's a hardcover book.
Yeah.
I would, first of all, definitely cut the fine in half.
Like, right off the bat.
Right off the bat.
Like, you wouldn't, like, because when I, like, okay, so let me give you some context to my experience with fines.
Yeah.
I worked at the same library as Shana for a while, and that's when I handled fines. I don't handle fines in my current position.
Yeah.
Really. I kind of do, but not really. Like, not enough to have experience to talk mm-hmm. about it like this, but, because my approach was always, like, tell them they have a fine.
Yes.
And, like, my instinct as a human is to, like, offer to reduce it right away because I feel bad for them.
Yeah.
But a lot of times people would just pay up.
Yes.
Like, they don't have a problem.
Yes.
It's, you know, it's so funny. It's, like, people who have, like, the $50 fine, like, no problem.
No problem. Here's my card.
But personally, like, I have a 25-cent fine, and I know I returned this book on time, and it said it was a day late. Those are people who fight with you.
And you're like, I'm quarter. Like, just give me the quarter. Like, yeah. It's not going to break the bank.
But sorry, anyways, go back to how you would handle the book with the bite. the bitten bug.
I mean, I know already that I'm going to, like, cut the fine. Either it's in half, or not. I wouldn't make them pay the full price for it, considering that this was not, like, I wasn't paying attention, and I, like, you know, spilled my coffee all over it. This is, like, you're a two-year-old, you turned your back for a second, and that happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely go in and look to see, like, their fines history.
That is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
To be able to see how many.
It's a little insider tip. We can see how many fines you have incurred and how much of it you have paid.
Yeah.
Which is the big thing.
Yeah, because if I look at someone's fines paid and they have a ton of them and they all say zero, then it's like okay, you've pulled this, like, 20 times already.
We've helped you out quite a bit. It's time for you to...
Yeah, I think I've heard you help a customer say that before. Like, when we hardly ever worked together in our time when we were at the same library, but once I heard you say that before where you're like, well, we've helped you out quite a bit.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm very much of a spirit of the law over the letter of the law.
Oh, yeah, me too.
So if you are willing to pay anything, then I will help you out.
Yeah. I often would say, what are you able to pay?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people say, well, I can't afford that. And, like, you said cut in half, but sometimes people just want, like, $10 off or something.
Yeah.
So I would say, what are you able to pay?
Mm-hmm. Because I never want it to be a situation where they're like, well, we're just not coming back.
Yeah. Remember when we were kids?
Yeah.
We've talked about this on the podcast before, like, in some of the early episodes. But, like, we racked up fines because, like we're not, like, you know, we were kids. And my mom's not, like, a super on-time organized person. And
no, that's fine. Because
like, that's totally fine. But we had library fines, like, all the time.
Yeah.
And
this was back before email, so
they would call. So my dad, who was not involved in library stuff at all, would pick up the calls of, like, the robocall or whoever being like, your books are overdue, you owe, whatever.
Yeah.
And he would be like,
you would be
that's it, you're not going to the library anymore, like, you're too many fines, blah, blah, blah. And my mom would be like, no, they're going back, blah, 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 they need to read. And I'm sure my dad now is just like, oh, maybe he's not like a thing they read. Who knows? But anyways, the whole point is that it was a barrier, right?
Yeah.
And like, if my mom had been of the same opinion or hadn't been like, no, like, we'll just be better, then that would have been the end, right?
Yeah. So, and I know that happens.
Yeah.
Like, there's people that, because with my library, as soon as you hit 13, I think that's when we classify you as an adult.
Yeah.
We get you a brand new card and we, like, wipe your fines clear. So oftentimes you'll see a situation where mom or dad will rack up all the fines on the kid's card and then the kid won't come back for, like, 10 years or, like, 6 years until they turn 13 and they walk in and they can get their new card.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Yeah, but I do, that is a good transition, talking about the barriers of fines.
Yeah.
We're going to do our reading break, but after the reading break, we want to talk about how the no fine system has affected this. We talked about doing no fines in an early episode of the podcast,
mm-hmm.
like really early in season one, but both of our library systems have not been charging any late fines four items returned in 2020 since COVID started as like a COVID relief kind of thing. And also to help with like quarantine times and stuff like that for returns. And I think just having experienced that firsthand has given us some new insight.
Yes.
So we want to get into that after the reading break. Reading break.
All right. So the book that I just finished, I don't know, a couple days ago, is Death in a Darkening Mist by Iona Wishaw.
I think it's Iona.
Iona? It's Iona? I-O-N-A.
No, maybe it's Iona.
I think it's Iona.
Oh my goodness. Every time we do this, I'm so embarrassed that we don't know the author names. Forgive us, listeners. It's really nothing malicious. Just are lazy.
Well, it just proves that we're readers because we like...
That is true. You're a reader if you say words wrong. Wrong
because you never don't hear it.
You just read them.
This is the second book in the Lane Winslow mystery series.
Uh-huh.
So I read the first book like, at least 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those, like, it was a brand new book and then I was reading other stuff and I forgot about the series.
Yeah.
So this... the series is set in British Columbia,
mm-hmm.
and it's right after World War II.
Okay.
So, like, 1946.
Okay.
So, essentially, the main character, her name is Lane, and she is,
like, Lois Lane? Oh, I guess Lane's last name.
Yeah.
Never mind, continue. That was off topic.
Her name is actually Lynette, but they call her...
Okay.
But her nickname is Lane. So, she moves to BC from England.
Uh-huh.
Because during the war, she was a British spy.
Right.
And she essentially quits, and once the war's done, moves to BC to live a quiet life. Essentially,
of course. Like, classic.
Classic, right? And then, of course, and I think in the first book, she finds a dead body and, you know.
Murder.
It's a murder mystery set in a, you know.
Post-war.
So in this one, it's the same thing. She lives in this small little... village,
yeah,
where it's like most of the people are older,
right?
Except there's this one family that she's close with, and the mom is like around her age, and they have three boys, so they go to these like natural springs. It's in the middle of winter.
Oh, okay, cool.
And then in the changing rooms they find a body.
Okay.
So she has this like relationship with the police from before,
right?
And it's her love interest.
Of course it is,
because you know I can't read a book without romance.
I was just saying when Shayna was telling me about this book earlier that it sounds like a lot like the Franny Fisher. I never watched it, but I know you did.
It's similar along those lines.
Also, my other comparison was Father Brown. Yeah.
But not a priest.
A lady. So maybe not really the same.
Yeah, it's a really good series. I like the fact that it's kind of like a...
Grown-up Flavia DeLuce?
Maybe. It's kind of like a role reversal, because typically, like, the man is the one that has, like, not PTSD, but, like, this dark, like,
you, mean.
You know, like, a soldier in the war.
The and brooding kind of, past, yeah.
But in this case, it's her, and she has all these things where it's, like, she can't talk about what she did because it's classified.
Oh, interesting.
And they, like... There's this kind of, like, underlining thread where they're trying to get her back.
Uh-huh.
But she's like, no.
Yeah.
So then the guy, his last name is Darling, so he's Detective Darling.
Like Peter Pan. Right?
Yes, very much like Peter Pan. And he also fought in the war. He was, like, a fighter pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and essentially, like, they have this thing where, like, this tension between them.
Of course,
them.
I do.
Yes, but, like, and she helps because, you know, she speaks all these languages and she has all these skills. Yeah. And he's just like, I want you to tell me how you know these things, and, like, I don't know if I trust you because you can't tell me things.
Right.
And
she's like, I can't, it's classified.
Yeah, so it's interesting. It has to do with, like, Russian spies in this one.
Oh, which makes total sense.
Yeah. So essentially the guy is Russian, but he has, like, a secret identity, and it's, like, a political thing. But yeah, so it's a good cast of characters that kind of, like, thread throughout the books. Like, the townspeople are great.
Right.
But yeah, I thought it was a great Canadian mystery.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. But yes, but anyways, good book. Highly recommend that series.
What's the first one called?
I think it's A Killer in King's Cove.
Okay.
King's
and Cove, what's the author? Oh, okay.
Iona Wishaw?
I think Iona Wishaw, yeah.
So Wishaw.
Yep.
So, Jenna, what book have you read or are reading?
I'm currently listening to High Fire on audiobook. It's by Owen Coffer. He is the guy who wrote the Artemis Fowl series.
Oh, you love that series.
I do. I think Artemis Fowl is so funny. I think it stands up to the test of time. And it's like a good children's series that you could read as an adult and still enjoy. But we're not talking about Artemis Fowl. We're talking about High Fire, which is a departure from Artemis Fowl in terms of tone, for sure. But not also because it deals with fantasy creatures still. Like, Artemis Fowl deals with berries. And in this book, it takes place in, like, the swamps somewhere down south. I can't remember where. That's kind of sad.
Louisiana?
I think Louisiana.
The bayou?
Yeah, kind of. And it is the main character. His name is Squib. I almost forgot.
Once again, okay, Sir Jen, I can't remember the character's name.
That's so bad. His name is Squib, and he is kind of like this, like, teenager who's rough and tough, and he gets into trouble, but he's, you know, a good guy overall. Mm-hmm. And then there's a dragon who lives in the swamp, and he's kind of like that typical, like, old man, redneck, mm-hmm. but a dragon, right?
Yeah.
So he, like, and he's kind of like, he's been around forever, he's lived forever, this dragon. And basically what happens is, Squib ends up witnessing a crime,
mm-hmm.
and so that's one layer of it, is he witnesses a crime he shouldn't have seen in the swamp while mm-hmm. he's out there. I forget why he's out there, but he's kind of always doing, like, nefarious things that yes. are, like, illegal but not that bad, like yeah. running moonshine, you know, that kind of stuff. And he ends up having to work for the dragon, like, do deliveries and stuff for him,
mm-hmm.
and I'm, like, about halfway through, but they're kind of starting to, like, build a relationship between the two of them. And the tone of this book is really interesting. It reminds me a lot, if you've watched Justified, it reminds mm-hmm. me a lot of that tone. It isn't, like, if you're, and like anything when you deal with kind of deep south, in, like, that kind of, like, redneck-y vibes, it's, like, there's a lot of swearing in it.
Yeah.
And the audiobook is good because they do the voices really well.
That's good.
And Owen Colfer is really good at writing, like, random side characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially, like, cronies. Like, for the bad guys, they're always really funny. The villain is really good in this book. So I think overall, it's a really fun read.
Okay.
But it is crass. And I don't love that part about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it fits with the tone.
Yeah.
So if that's not your thing, then I wouldn't recommend this book. But if you liked Artemis Fowl and you're okay with that, it's a fun read so far.
Right.
Anyways,
let's get back to talking about late fees and overdue fines.
And we're going to talk about, well, I don't need to tell you what we're going to talk about. I already said that. Let's just get back to it. Let's
get back to your regular scheduled programming.
All right, so we wanted to end the podcast touching on the idea of no fines.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think what the general thing we're getting from this article and from what my friends had to say was that fines are a barrier.
Correct.
And not just a financial barrier, but, like, an emotional barrier.
Yeah, it seems to be that people, like, feel real, like, guilt and, like, shame over having
you don't want to exactly, and you don't want to go somewhere that makes you feel bad about yourself, right? And I guess from a library perspective, and we've covered this very extensively, and I don't know how very extensively, but we covered it, sort of, in our episode about no fines, but like, what the pros and cons of are.
Yeah.
But I think what's interesting is what we have witnessed in terms of not having these fines and thus not having the barriers.
Yeah.
And, like, the idea that it's not just a financial barrier, because in both of, like, my friends' situations, first of all, the fines weren't that big.
Mm-hmm.
They could have paid them, you know? Yeah. Like, they could have paid $10 and $17 for those fines, but they didn't. And instead, they just kind of had this dread of library growing.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we're not doing fines because of COVID, for any books returned in 2020, as of now, who knows if that'll get extended or not.
I think for my library, I've heard it's just till the end of the year.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing too, but who knows what will be
who knows what the happening end of the year by the end like. Of the year.
So I just wanted to ask you if you had witnessed any behavior, well, not behavior changes isn't the right word, but if you had witnessed any reactions from customers or ways that no fines have maybe broken down some of those barriers.
I think, well, the other piece to it that my library is doing is that we're also wiping fines.
Like, we're clearing fines. Is that, like, public knowledge?
Well, kind of. Because we've done it enough times that, like,
People know.
We definitely aren't, like,
it's not, like, on all your promotional material.
Yeah. But essentially up to $100 is what we've been.
Wow, that's pretty significant.
Yeah, so we just kind of been, and we just do it quietly.
Yeah.
Like, you're handing, like, you're checking books out to someone, and you're like, oh, we have $5, fine, gone.
Okay.
So that's been, like, nice, and also it kind of, like, especially during this time where people don't really want to, like, leave their house as much, and they, it's kind of tricky to, like, justify, like, coming to the library. It's kind of like a relief for them to be like, oh, I can take these books home with me, and it's okay if they're like a couple of days late.
Yeah, well, because we also had a fine forgiveness weekend in February, which was basically like, you, if you just ask and we'll forgive your fines, or you can return items with big fines and then you won't get the fines on them.
Yeah.
So it is kind of interesting because that was sort of like the foundation, I think, for a lot of this. And I have dealt with a lot of customers who are like, oh, like, this is so great.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry now. I had a customer who was like, oh, I'm not going to take that. I said, oh, well, you know, there isn't fines. Because she wasn't sure she could get a ride back to the library.
Because
she was an older lady. I said, oh, you know, you can take that because you don't need to worry if it's a few days late.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, like, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it then. But the flip side to that is, like, how have you handled, like, telling people about, like, okay, so here's a scenario that I come across quite often.
Mm-hmm.
Someone wants to renew a book, and they've already renewed it as many times as possible.
Yeah.
So, it's hard to know, because, like, technically there's no fines. You can keep it as long as you want, but after a certain amount of time, it gets billed to you.
Yes, and it's a shorter amount of time than what it normally would be.
Yeah. But, it's always, like, I feel like, ugh, like, usually what I tell people is, like, if you need a few extra days, you can take it, no problem.
Yes.
But then what we get into is books don't come back, and people are, the holds list are out of control.
So I think in that situation, I would look at the book.
Is that's what I've been doing.
Is it a newer book? Does it have a long holds list? Yeah. That I would stress to the customer, like, just so you know, there is quite a amount, there's people waiting for this book, so as soon as you can get it back to us, the best, the better. And I mean, like, this is kind of a little bit of a sidetrack, but not really. So we essentially, obviously we were telling people, don't return your books during, like, quarantine.
Right.
So for the 4 months that we were like,
when the library was closed.
When the library was closed, we like said, keep your books, keep your books. And then we made the due date to be like middle of July, like July 20th, I think.
Yeah.
And then they got their overdue notices. And then, so we got some, the funny thing is that in that overdue notice, I guess they had a line that saying like, if you don't return these books, we will bill you for them.
Yeah.
And people panicked, and we got 6,000 items returned the next day.
Yeah.
Which, like, overwhelmed our circulations department. So, I mean,
It's interesting. Because, like, you think that people are going to abuse it and the hold lines are going to be long. But
not really, actually.
What I have been finding surprising is most people I talk to, and of course the people who are going to keep them forever are not the people who are going to be talking to me all the time, but the people I talk to are like, oh, I just want to get rid of this. Like, I'm done reading it. I don't want it.
They don't want it in their homes.
They're like, I feel guilty. It's the same guilt.
Yeah.
You know what? I feel like libraries should just capitalize on the guilt. People are going to feel guilty about something, right? So, like, why don't you just keep doing no fines? And instead of having them feel guilty that they can't come back to the library, have them feel guilty to return their books on time, but not have the fines. But then the other part of that is, like, if we don't have fines, after a while, everyone will get desensitized, right?
Yes.
So that if we just had no fines for the rest of, the, like, ever, forever, like, no more fines moving forward, then people would start to abuse it because they would forget what it was like to have fines, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, we're going to be billing people. So they'll get like a higher amount on there.
Yeah.
And the thing is, that's also confusing to people is like during this like pandemic is that are the items returned have to be like quarantined?
Yeah. That's for a whole other thing.
So that it means like it looks like you're incurring fines because like
because the online system will say fines now up to because the item hasn't been checked in yet.
Yeah, so people panic and then they don't realize that like
the fines come off when they get checked in. The system is set up to do it that way.
Yeah, so I mean,
I know I've had to deal with a lot of people who are upset about that.
Yep,
but I don't know. It just brings up the whole debate. I think is the happy medium is kind of what we're doing right now, which is like having periods of no fines.
Yeah.
And, like, having the fine forgiveness.
Yes.
Like, we did it for a weekend, but I wonder if maybe doing that for a month every year would be good. Because then you break down those barriers for people, right? It's like, bring your stuff back, no shame.
Yeah.
Like, there should be no shame to begin with, because honestly, no one cares.
We honestly don't. All the library cares about is getting their items back. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
And if it's late fines, I don't even care. I care even less.
I was like, whatever.
We got the book back.
Nobody and it's else. Like, I feel like the conversation is more important than receiving the money.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hands down. Like,
yeah. And, like, a lot of times I tell customers, oh, yeah, I have fines due. I haven't paid them yet. And they're like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah. Like, that's not no big deal, but it's not that big a deal. Like,
yeah.
I'll pay them, you know, when they get up to the cutoff. I think ours is $10. I'm like, when my fines get to $10, I'll pay them. It usually takes me a couple years to build up to $10.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's fine. And people relax when they realize it's actually a pretty normal part of the library.
It's so normal. And I feel like people always think it's just them that has the high fine.
And I'm like, you have no idea.
And I'm like, your $2.50 is like small nothing.
Potatoes.
It's so like, yeah. The amount of like.
But I just think it's been interesting having the no fines to like test drive that.
Yeah.
And I have talked to people who are like, oh, like, who would have that barrier, right?
Yes.
Like, I don't think I've really dealt with anyone who's like, I'm coming back because of the no fines. It's more just like people who are like that lady who had that lost card.
Yeah.
It was like, I said, well, you don't need to worry about fines moving forward because, you know, we're doing no fines for this year.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay. Because the thing about fines is the people who are living these very stable lives, who have money, who have solid jobs, who have housing, all that stuff, it's not as hard for them to
because to them, it's just like, oh, it's just my donation to the library. That's what a lot of people call it.
Yeah, but what I mean is, like, it's not that hard for them to keep track of their items.
Yes.
To not get fines in the first place.
Okay, yeah, yeah, I see what you mean. Yep.
Yeah, but when you, like, this lady who I dealt with, when you don't have a stable housing situation, or maybe you have some kind of mental illness that is harder to, like, the library books are probably the least thing on your priority list. Yes. You know what I mean? And then those are people who can't pay it off, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, kicking someone who's already down.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, you're already this low-income person, which is who the library is for.
Yes.
And then it's like, well, let's kick you a little further down with all these fines that are just going to keep building up and building up because they get worse and worse and worse because you can't deal with it, right?
Yeah. And then, depending on who you have to deal with at the library,
it's yeah, like that terrible... situation annoyed me, like, in that article when that person was being like that. Because, like, you can still be firm and be like, you need to pay your fines, but you can be nice about it. Like, oh, hey, I know it's tough. Like, you can use the computers. This is what you can do.
Yeah.
And, like, you were saying, like, make an exception. Do that. But sometimes you can't make exceptions, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, when someone is abusing the library.
And I often say, like, hey, we need you to be responsible for this because, like, we're not made of money. Like,
we're not.
It's not us versus you. Like, we're working together to make a library system for everybody. And if everyone loses their items, then that's... We can't have a library, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that sounds kind of condescending. But you know what I mean? Like, you can say, like, hey, when you do this, it helps us do this to help you better.
Yeah. And oftentimes I just, like, we stress to people, like, we just want our items back.
Yeah.
However you do it, just get them back to us.
Yeah.
And it helps the problem.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's the first thing too, that I
like,
say.
The lost items are not getting, like, a lot of people think, oh, I just don't have to return my library books because we're doing no fines. It's like, no overdue fines.
No overdue fines. And I feel like that's the first thing that I, when I talk to people and I see their account and it's like, oh, we've billed you for these three movies.
Yeah.
I say, hey, do you know where the movies are?
Yeah.
That's what I start with.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, yeah, I think it's like, oh, you know, it's here or there. And I'm like, okay, bring them back. And the conversation we have will be different than what the conversation that.
Yeah.
That we just, we always say, we just want our items back, bring them back.
Yeah.
And we can wipe. So a lot of things off, and you'll just have to pay overdue fines instead of, like, a lost item charge, which can be, like, 2 to 3 times higher than that.
Right. And my philosophy for, like, most library issues, well, for all library issues, and it applies to most issues, is that, like, libraries are, like, about people, right? So they're about people in the fact that libraries are there to serve people. They're about people in the way that, like, your staff are people.
Yeah.
You know, need to be treated as people. And, like, if we just treat each other as people, not fines, or not books, or not items, or not overdues, or, you know what I mean? Like, if I see you as a person first, then that goes a long way, I think. Where it's like, hey, I see you as a person who's struggling.
Yes.
And, like, even if I can't waive a fine for you, or I can't cut it in half, or whatever, I can still treat you with some empathy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can still be like, hey, I know that sucks. Like, that's a tough situation. This is, like, this is the reality of it, but,
yeah,
like, you know.
Well, I think oftentimes people think that like, the library needs to collect fines just to like, survive. And I'm like, that's so far from the actual reality.
Yeah, like, because, I mean, like, it is a factor, but it's not, like, that's the operating budget.
No, it's, like, fines are, like,
your maybe... Your fines don't pay my salary.
No. Maybe they're maybe 1 to 2% of our budget, like, yeah. If that. Like...
So it's not like we're out to get you with fines.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you can't discount the value. Like, the fines are money coming in, but it's not like...
But it's more of, like, that's your accountability.
Yeah. I agree.
So, yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot to talk about here. Maybe we'll talk about it again. Maybe when we wrap up the no fines period or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope you found that interesting. Have a read of the article. We'll put the title of it in the show notes and you can look it up online. But... Yeah. Yeah, fines are a big topic. So it's interesting to come at them with a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you again to our friends of the podcast, Dorian, Curtis, Lisa, for nudging Curtis to do it. Thank you again for sharing your stories with us so we can share them with the world.
Yes.
We'd love to hear your reactions to this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at Library Life Pod. On Instagram at Library Life Pod, or feel free to send us an email at librarylifepodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, send us your library shame stories.
Yeah, that'd be fun. To like just read everyone's shame and be like, huh. Me too.
Yeah.
Or not. I mean, maybe that's not fun for people. That'd be fun for us as the readers. Anyways, let's wrap this up before it goes too far downhill.
This concludes episode 32 of Library Life.
May the good books be long and the bad books be short. Until next time.